Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome to Muslim Talks' first podcast episode for the spring 2025 semester, aka season 4. My name is Abir Al-Muhammad, and I'm the committee lead for Muslim Talks. If you're not familiar with our podcast, we're run by MMHO, Muslim Mental Health Organization at UT Austin. On this podcast, we talk about Islam, mental health, and other related topics. For today's episode, we invited three members from the Dean Intensive Steering Committee to tell us about their experiences running the conference and the lessons they learned. They dropped so many gems about intentions, time management, and leadership. So be sure to listen on. This is part one of what they had to share. Inshallah, part two will be released shortly. Without further ado, please enjoy the episode.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm your host, Fatma Mudassir, and today we are joined by the Dean Intensive Committee. If everyone can go around and introduce themselves, year, major, and their role in DI.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Hiba Hajir, and I am a sophomore. I was the admin chair of Dean Intensive.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Sophia. I am a freshman aerospace engineering major, and I was this year's program chair, one of the program chairs.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. My name is Bilal Zafar. I am an econ major. I'm a third year, and I was the program co-chair for this year's DI.
Okay, thank you, guys. So can one of you guys please explain what Dean Intensive is as a conference?
So Dean Intensive is like an annual conference that UT holds, and they host here, and it's basically an Islamic conference targeted for like college students primarily. And we basically bring in scholars from across Texas, from across the US, and they come. It's like a weekend-long kind of conference, and students from all over Texas, they come and drive over to UT Austin, and it's a really great like kind of learning experience for everyone. And I think it's a really good opportunity for like students to get exposed to like formal Islamic knowledge and like really, taking a step forward to pursue your knowledge. And most people don't do it before coming to DI, right? Where you're like paying for like a ticket, right? It's like a commitment, but like a real tangible commitment to like increasing yourself in knowledge. I think it's a really good thing for college students to experience. So I think DI is able to facilitate that.
Okay. Thank you for the informational answer. So what motivated you guys to apply to the DI committee and be a part of DI?
So I think for me, it was more that as a freshman, I had just been at UT for about 2 months. And literally in that span of time, I felt so welcomed by the community. And, the second the applications went out, I felt like the need to give back and just apply and see what happens. But alhamdulillah, it was like a really great opportunity for me to get to know so many new people from this community and then like communities from A&M, U of H. Alhamdulillah.
I think just coming to Nuasis at first, just seeing the community of just helping everyone and serving the community kind of inspired me to apply for this leadership position, because prior to that, I haven't applied to any other position. And then just hearing about how big of a conference it is and how much of an impact it has on so many people. The fact that so many people even come all the way to UT Austin to go to this conference, I was just very intrigued. What's the purpose? What's the idea behind it? And so I wanted to be a part of that whole planning process and see what really goes on behind planning this process. So I really took my time and planned out my essays and perfected my essays, because I really wanted to make sure my intentions were in the right place and serve my community in the best way that I could.
Yeah, I think this community is really special, where you have so many students committed to other students, right? You have students committed to the knowledge of other students. You have students committed to the Islam of other students. And when you're here and you see it, you see the people around you, right? They're stepping up. They're taking on like a degree of responsibility. They're taking on that burden just for no other sake. Like, they don't really get much out of it. It's not like they're earning money or something. Nobody's getting paid here, right? But, there's no shadow of a doubt you can tell in their character and the way they approach their work. They care about it so much. For me, when I was around that, I was here like all of last year, and alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to like kind of befriend some of these people who were doing these kinds of things. And when you're around it, You just want to see, like, you know, what is that? And it's very infectious. It's very infectious. Like, the combination of your own personal benefit, but also seeing the commitment of other people, like, you just want to see what it's all about, right? And it kind of facilitates this level and fosters, like, this care to, like, not just, like, you know, like, your curiosity, but also, like, you just really want to see, like, you know, you kind of want to see what it's like. And I think that was a part of you know, why I wanted to be a part of DI. I wanted to see it. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to, you know, be able to give back to the community as well. And I wanted to be able to step up in some manner because alhamdulillah, this community has given a lot to me.
Okay, thank you. So as you said, all these type of events are very time committing and you need to have a lot of responsibilities. So do you guys mind explaining how did you manage this responsibility on top of being a very busy student with very busy schedules?
I think when I first applied, I never really understood how much of a time commitment it would be. Like, I was like, okay, we started in November, so the conference was literally like 5 months out. But, you know, right off the bat, there were meetings, like many meetings, like every single week. And it was honestly a little overwhelming at first, just with, you know, my credit hours that I was taking and just other extracurriculars. But really being able to keep my intentions in the right place where I knew that what I was doing was meant to benefit the community and benefit other people. And I knew that in doing so, I was growing throughout the role, and I know I definitely did grow. So kind of just staying on top of my, obviously, like, academics, but also staying on top of DI and kind of finding a balance between the two.
So, I don't think people realize just how time-consuming DI can be. Like, genuinely, with so much of, like, school and all of that stuff, like, it takes up so much of your time. Because besides just our meeting once a week, our meetings run from, like, at least 7 o'clock until midnight. Midnight at, like, most. But typically, like, it runs for so long. And then on top of that, we obviously have, like, assignments and all of that stuff. But main point being is that really nobody is able to do all of that if it wasn't for the sake of Allah. Like, we weren't getting paid for any of this. The professionalism that comes with the Deen Intensive and every, like, all of the work that we've done, it was genuinely for the sake of Allah and driven by that passion of wanting to serve the community and wanting to serve for the sake of Allah. So with that time commitment, it's the only way it was possible is just putting your intentions in the right place and really enjoying that process. Like, I know it took up so much time, but I enjoyed every single second of it. Like, it was so fun. And just, like, seeing the way everybody grew together, like, I genuinely wish it was even longer, you know? Like, it's already over, but here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Let me just give me a second. Y'all saying y'all not getting paid. Like, I thought we were getting commission or something, but I found out at the end, like, man, this whole thing was a scam, bro. What's about that? Shoot, what's the question? Like, how do I manage my time?
Yeah, your responsibilities.
My responsibilities. Yeah, I don't know. I'm an econ major, right? So it's like cosmetic. It's like a cosmetic major. I can say something smart, like, I can say something nice, like Allah puts baraka in your time.
Yeah.
That just the equivalent of, like, I didn't have enough things to do that I needed to manage my time, right? So, like, so I'll say, you know, Allah put so much baraka in my time, alhamdulillah. But on a more serious note, it's very interesting. I never even thought about, like, time management. Obviously, you have to do it. Like, it's not something that just doesn't happen. But, like, it was never a very conscious thing on my mind. I think whenever you kind of take on some of these kinds of commitments, literally, it's the first thing in your mind all the time, anytime. Like, first thing in your head, every time you're thinking about anything, like, DI is in the top three at least, right? Even when you're taking a test, I'm thinking about my emails. Literally, I had a quiz, and I'm getting calls from the assistant of, like, scholars in class. I'm taking a quiz. Immediately, I'm just thinking about the call, bro. Like, I think my quiz was sabotage, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Immediately after class, it's at 8 a.m. too. It's like 8:30 in the morning, you know what I mean? But, like, it's the only thing on your mind. And then everything else just is secondhand, and it just happens by itself. At least for me, it's just, like, you know, things get pushed back. Like, you know, you really end up just building everything around DI. Like, at least from my experience, you know, your assignments, everything. Yeah, things get delayed, things get pushed back. But like, you're not thinking about how they got pushed back. You're just thinking about the DI commitment that forced you to push it back, right? That's the thing that you're trying to solve. Everything else is secondary. So, yeah.
Can I just add on to that? So, I mean, it's been like 3 weeks since DI has been over, and I'm still trying to catch up from all my assignments. So it's just further proof that literally, like, when you're in this position, like, everything else is pushed to the side. Like, everything really does revolve around DI because of, like, the heaviness of the position that it holds.
So. And I think, like, a large part of it is, like, there's a lot of mental load because it's just, like, a lot of awkward things that you got to keep in your head all the time. Right, so it's like certain tasks that you just got to keep in your mind, certain deadlines that you know you have to make, right? So it's like even beyond just the actual work, like the actual work, like maybe you got to send an email or something, or maybe you got to, you know, make a, you know, schedule or something like that, right? Like the actual work will take maybe an hour, but like the mental load of that work, it's on your mind for like the whole week or something like that, right? So it feels much more laborious than like maybe the physical labor, but that mental load, like it really amounts, it really accumulates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely going off of that, like, I think especially with program, it's much more of, as you said, like the mental load where you're kind of just thinking like, oh, is this going to work out? Like, oh, are they going to get back to me? When is this going to happen? And honestly, like now that DI is over, like the weight, it feels just like it has been lifted in a way that I'm able to like focus on other things. But also like, I think it gives me the freedom to kind of have that space to focus like on my dean in a way that I wasn't able to do before DI. So I think definitely DI helped me like with my time management, with focusing, being able to have a balance between academics, but also focusing on my dean, focusing on my social life and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay, as you guys said, you know, there was an overload of work and DI was always in the forefront of your mind. You guys talked about keeping your intentions in check. So how did you guys do that in a physical manner? How did you guys keep your intentions in check, or mentally as well?
I'm going to start off by saying that for every public act of worship, you should always follow it up with a private act of worship. And
yeah, we got a snap. We got a snap.
So obviously, with that, I felt like... just praying 2 rak'ats when I come home, even in, like waking up for tahajjud and stuff like that. Like you just have to put in extra work to like make sure that you're solely focused for the right reasons. And beyond that, like I really felt like I had to journal a lot more. I had to like let out a lot of things. So yeah, just like being able to talk to Allah, just having a conversation with Allah, one on one, without the public aspect.
Yeah, when it comes to this, like, this whole intention business, you know, like, I feel like it's very, very, like, from the outside, it you just don't expect it. But it's a very, very, very conscious, laborious effort. It is very laborious. Keeping your intentions in check is a part of the load. Like, within the description of the workload, keeping your intention in check is just as important as sending that next email. Like, it's a part of the work. Yeah. And it's a very conscious effort. You know, like, making dua, like, you know, praying, having that conversation with Allah, right? Making sure it's very constant throughout your day is very important. Anytime you're doing anything regarding your work in DI, establishing your intention real quick, just beforehand, like, reconfirming things, anything like that, like, it's a very, very active, it's a very constant, and it's a very conscious and laborious effort. And, you know, when you're not doing some kind of commitment to the community like this, not some kind of leadership, like, you don't see it. You know, you think people operate automatically. You see, like, alhamdulillah, like, we have so much talented community members that step up and do a lot of work for leadership. And you're like, man, I don't know how they do it, right? They just kind of do everything right. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's very effortless, right? But I promise you, anybody and everybody struggles with intention. Like, this is, if someone is saying that they don't, I'd be scared for them. Make dua for them, seriously. Like, honestly, make dua for them because intention is a real, real struggle. But there's still hikmah behind why it's a struggle. Because, like, if intentions weren't a struggle, then you wouldn't feel the need to have Allah. Because imagine this. Imagine if you were able... Here's the thing, like, human design, you can never know your intention. Like, you can never know your actual intention. You can know parts of it, but like the true, like, you know, objective intention, right? Like, you'll never know it. And it's kind of interesting, and sometimes it's laborious, right? If you're doing work, you're kind of frustrated because you're like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're doing things with the wrong intention, and it's a frustrating experience because you're like, I'm frustrated with myself that I can't keep my intention in check, right? And sometimes a part of you, it kind of thinks like, I wish I didn't have to deal with this problem, right? But if you didn't have to deal with this problem, then you would never have to do the dhikr to deal with the problem. And you would never have to keep Allah in your heart and in your mind to deal with the problem. And another thing is that if you knew your intention for sure, let's say like there was like a way we could track it, like new app, right? Brain scan, something like that. And you can see your intentions. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's intentions are pure. Then people who have quote unquote objectively pure intentions, they will become arrogant. There is no way to protect yourself from arrogance if that's, you know, who you are, right? So a part of it is not just like the dhikr of Allah, but another part of it is intention is a struggle, so it never becomes an actual problem. Yeah, I mean, it never can manifest into something like arrogance. Because if you know, like, you know, objectively that you're doing things for the right reason, it's eventually going to become the wrong reason, right? So intention in any... Oh, I just actually slapped the mic. Intention regarding any kind of leadership, any kind of responsibility, any kind of commitment, any kind of labor, like, intention is a part of all of it. Everybody struggles with intention, and it's a very large part of doing any kind of leadership. And it's like half of the benefit that you reap from leadership. People will say like, oh, you get leadership skills, right? You get like, oh, you're able to talk to people or something like that, right? Obviously, these are things that you grow as you take on more responsibility. You figure out how to do it. But I'd say the largest benefit that you can get from taking on leadership is how to keep yourself in check and how to keep your intentions in check and how to protect yourself from shaitan. It's a life skill. It's never going to go away. So get used to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm just remembering our very first meeting when our lovely co-leads told us that anyone could have gotten your positions and anyone could do them in the same way that like you could kind of have success with it. And it sounds really cynical at first, but just keeping that on the forefront of your mind of like, that's kind of the way I was thinking about it throughout the entire organizing process, even throughout DI. It's just that like we are literally just vessels like that Allah has placed for him to basically be able to reach out to, you know, all the attendees, all the students, and kind of like help them increase in knowledge through us. Like, it wasn't any of our actions that did it. It was more just Allah's plan. And I think there were definitely like probably closer to DI when I feel like everyone just kind of like knew me as, you know, like the program chair or like there on the committee. And while it definitely had its benefits, you know, people were able to ask me like questions that they had. They were able to, you know, put a face to the name. It was definitely very important for me to, you know, just kind of take a step back and think like, oh, so like Allah put me in this position, like Allah is greater. And just never thinking, you know, that like I'm the one with all the answers and I'm the one that's putting this into action.
Actually, now that I just think about it, when Bilal said that intention is a struggle, I actually never thought of it like that. Like, that is genuinely such a good way to think about it, because it genuinely is a struggle, depending on how you decide to take it. You could take it as, like, a struggle of arrogance, or you could take it as, like, a blessing of, okay, this is a good thing that I'm trying my best to be aware, and in that process, I'm getting closer to Allah. So this is genuinely, like, you could take it as, like, a bad thing, or you could take it as a blessing. And being in leaderships of like positions of leaderships, obviously, like you are in a greater or you have a heaviness of keeping your intentions in check. And with that really does come with getting closer to Allah if you do it the right way, if you decide to take it as a blessing. And another thing, it reminds me of Mufti Anwar when he gave us this little talk about this other imam that he spoke to, and he gave a whole khutbah alone, like in a whole like room of nobody, and he gave a whole khutbah the way that he usually would, because his intentions were in the right place. It really isn't about the people. When it is like in the right place, it's not about the amount of people that attended, like where it be like 500 or 1,000 people that attended. At the end of the day, if your intentions were right, you care about the quality of your work and not how many people showed up.
And just to add on to that, you really care about, it's just for the pleasure of Allah, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's like where you want to keep your intention.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll protect you from any negative experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people might be like, oh, man, it must have been tough, right? Or, like, you must have been really frustrated or yeah. something like that when X and Y happened or whatever. You know what I mean? But if you know that, like, and you really put an effort to solidify your intention for the pleasure of Allah, like, none of these things hurt you. All these things just wash mm-hmm. off of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah. it's a barakah from Allah mm-hmm. in that sense.
No,
as well.
And intention is like a whole deep yeah. topic. Like, there's so much you can go into it, you yeah. know. I mean, okay, this is probably kind of off topic, but like we had this Ramadan intensive thing that Sonia was talking about, and one guy asked a question about, if I want to serve Allah and also want to do it for my friend, like for the sake of my friend, like how can I do both? And Sonia said, like, the first reason should be for the sake of Allah. So if your friend does end up biting you in the back or just, like, doing you wrong, you're not as upset because you know you did it for the sake of Allah. So even if things went wrong left and right, when you know your reason is true, everything else is, yeah.
You're invincible.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for those amazing thoughts. And inshallah, our listeners get something out of the talk of intentions. Now, all three of you are sitting here and you guys seem pretty close, but I would love to know what it was like working with the team, with people you barely know or you don't know well at all.
Yeah, I think, like, that's definitely true for me, just because I was a freshman when I mean, I still am a freshman. And when I joined, like, literally, I think I had met Hiba, like, once. I'd met Shahid at one point. So I think, like, now that we're just so much closer together than we were, like, when we first started. And I think the reason for that, like, was because we were working together on DI and working together not just to, like, have the conference be as successful as it was, but also just working for the sake of Allah. And doing that together, I think, is definitely more bonding than anything could ever be. So, yeah, I think we've definitely come a long way from the start.
So I remember the first day we had our meeting, it was so awkward. It was so awkward. We had an icebreaker, and then Bilal was talking about, like, you fell off a bike.
No, that wasn't me. That was Takrima, bro.
But you fell off a... Was it her, really?
No, yeah.
Okay, yeah. She was talking about how she fell off a bike. It was such an awkward meeting, but I think it was so well needed. And honestly, like, nobody knew each other. We really didn't know each other. And that kind of shows, like... Because I think people have this misconception that, like, Dean Intensive's, like, committee leaders are based off of people that knew each other, or just, like, based off of, like, connections and popularity, which is so not true. We literally, we were so awkward. But what was the question?
That was the question.
Wait. I want to interject here.
Yeah.
You thought that meeting was awkward? Wait, I didn't think it was awkward. Guys.
Wait, you were talking about Dawah. You were talking about Dawa.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I remember.
Was that awkward for real? I thought it was like, okay, first meeting, whatever. Like, it's going to be slightly mm-hmm. uncomfortable. But, like, mm-hmm. it wasn't, like, awkward. Nobody was, like, failing it socially. I don't think.
Yeah, no, I think the first, like, couple meetings, just, like, coming in, nobody was, like, able to, like, properly give salam. We were just, like, looking at each other. Really.
Yeah, that might have been y'all's experience. I know you just said. I know you just said, like, you know, oh, nobody knew anybody. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
At least from the girls. I know the guys.
That might be true. Amara is actually, like, my roommate.
Yeah.
So I knew this guy, you know, pretty well going into this. So alhamdulillah, like, I think I was enabled to be automatically more comfortable just because one of the co-leads going in, like, I knew him very well. Mm. But you're right, like, pretty much everyone else, like, I didn't know very well. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was easier because I knew at least one person, right? It makes a difference.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think, like, you know, it's just an acclimatization process, right? Like, you, is it acclimatize or acclimatize? I don't know. Anyway, y'all understand what I'm saying, right? It's just a process. And I think, like, again, like, you're all here for one reason. And one thing that was really interesting was, you know, a good amount of the people on this year's committee had never seen a conference before, mm-hmm. right? So, like, I think one interesting thing to note about that is, like, if you're doing something for something you have no idea what it is, like, you're going to, like, like your reasons to do it are going to be very synonymous, right? Because like if you've seen it before, you might be like, oh, I'm going to do it to get the most amount of people ever, or like I'm going to do it to like, you know, whatever, get the craziest scholars or something like that, right? But like when you don't really see it before, you're kind of just like, you kind of just want to do something, right? Because it's not like you're trying to do the conference. You're just like, okay, I want to do something, and what I'm doing now is the conference, right? So I think that made it easier for us as like a committee, because I think a lot of people ended up having very, very like similar mentalities going in. Mm-hmm. So whenever there was struggle and whenever there's learning moments, everybody was kind of on the same kind of playing field when it came to like the way they thought about the conference. And I think it made it easier. And, you know, like even just beyond that, like it's tough to do this work, right? And like the reality is that you have to like make sure you don't get burnt out. You have to make sure, like, as a team, that you're, like, making sure everybody is, like, keeping up and is able to, like, kind of able to, like, succeed in the work they can do. You got to do checkups. And honestly, I can attribute pretty much all of this to Shahid and Amar. Like, these guys as co-leads, bro, like, for all the committee members, I think everybody can agree, so honestly, that they took care of us. Seriously. They really took care of us. They checked in on us. They gave us time to talk to them. Mm-hmm. They gave us time to not just de-stress, but also like to get our ideas out. Mm-hmm. They like really facilitated a social environment and a relationship with DI that was very, very healthy. And I think that was really reflected in our meetings. I think our meetings became very quickly quite comfortable, mm-hmm. very quickly, very fruitful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think all of these things you can just attribute to the co-leads, right? Because yes. It's on them to facilitate a social environment mm-hmm. that's productive, that's people are able to be comfortable in, and that people are able to... Chad and Amar, they did a very good job in making these like difficulties just, I can't even recall, to be honest, right? It was never a problem.
So as you talk about your co-leads, there was a moment during the brunch where everybody got emotional on the DI committee, especially the girls, and the guys had side hugs, but the girls were crying. And especially when you gifted Shahid flowers, it was a really emotional moment. Do you guys want to talk a little bit on what was going on throughout your mind?
I think besides this just being a conference, I genuinely gained true friendship. You know, especially with Shahid, like she was there for me in ways that I don't think anyone else has in quite a bit. You know, like the way she really made, I don't know about everyone else's experience, but like at least for me personally, like she really made sure to check up on me. And at some point I was like really sick and she drove all the way to my apartment. She got me like soup and like medicine, you know? So just like a collection of memories, and all of our fun times and the friendship that we really gained just made it also emotional because it's like kind of like that chapter coming to an end, you know? Like we worked so hard for this, and to see that fruition come to life and then finally have it end was just very emotional. So alhamdulillah, like we really gained so much more from this experience.
I think it was like an even bigger moment for our co-leads, you know, that brunch, where they had been working like way before we even started working on it. They got picked probably, I don't know the exact timeline, but probably like during the summer, even like right after. And I just know that it was just such a huge part of like their entire lives, and just having that conference like at the end was just like every single thing like happening at once for them. And I know it was super overwhelming, but like as Hiba was saying, like Shahid to me, like she was definitely like one of the most amazing leads ever, but she was like such an amazing mentor to me, such an amazing friend. And like literally it was like, I think it was yesterday when I had like an exam, I think, but Shahid just randomly called me like before my exam. I don't even know how she knew I had an exam, but she just called me like on her way to Houston, and she was just asking me for like life updates. And this is like after DI, so she's not even like morally responsible to check up on me anymore. But she's just like such an amazing person, and it's honestly like it's so sad every time I think about it. The fact that she's graduating this year, but Iman too. She's also one. she was on the committee too. She was our logistic lead. But both of them were just such like amazing mentors to me, like as a freshman, to be able to experience like DI with the seniors who had been, who understood how it was. And they really just taught me so much, I think, as a person.
Yeah, I can definitely speak for like the brothers. You know, Mara's my roommate, right? So I'm like quite biased. I'm gonna put that out in like out front. But you know, like you guys are saying, like, you know, it was a journey. It was a process, and it was all coming to an end, right? At least work wise. Hopefully, all friendships didn't come to an end, right? You know what I mean? But like at least for me, like none of it felt like work. Like, of course it was difficult, and of course it was work. But like when you're doing it with people you're close with, like, I don't know, the meetings, maybe this is not good. I just felt like I was hanging out with like my friends. Yeah, I mean, we're doing work, but it was like, it was just like, it just never felt like it, right? So even like at that last meeting, you said like, okay, the guys are doing side hugs while the sisters are like, you know, having like a, you know, more involved experience. But I think that shit comes down to like, when it feels like you're hanging out with friends, like, you know that, like, once your work is over, that's not necessarily going to stop, right? So I think for, at least I can speak for myself, like, for me, it was just like, all right, now we don't have a forced reason to hang out together, but now we'll have less forced reasons to hang out with each other, right? So it was just like a, I don't know, just like a little thing, I don't know, yeah.
Okay. So as we talk about your relationships with your fellow committee members, what advice would you give to anyone who is on DI committee in the future?
Okay, I'll just say for the future DI committee members, honestly, just keep an open mind. Like, if you think that the committee members aren't people that you would vibe with off the first bat, like, you will realize that you mesh with people in ways that you'll never know. And honestly, something for me was my first meeting with my co-chair. I think I remember I had no idea what I was getting into, and I'm just like now realizing that, where he literally like info dumped on me, and I felt so overwhelmed in the beginning, just because like I felt so like underprepared compared to him. But just throughout the experience of like working together, like honestly, just the fact that we were both like different people, we both had our different strengths, it just worked so like well for us as program. And I know like I worked well with many of the other committee members just off the fact that even though we were like friends, we still worked together like in different ways, just depending on the different type of people that we were.
Okay, one advice that I would give is you don't have as much time as you think you do. So there's a reason we have a good 4 months in planning this whole conference. And obviously it kind of depends on the role. So for me as admin, most of my stuff, like the big stuff, was not until like towards the end of DI. So the first like 3 months was like a little chill. It wasn't as chaotic compared to other chairs, like program especially. But once I did come to the part of admin being busy, that's when I realized, okay, there was still a reason why I was given 3 months to plan ahead, you know? So definitely take advantage of the time that was given to you, and don't think you have enough time. yeah, just make the most of your experience and have fun.
Yeah, I'll say, I'll kind of direct this more generally towards just the DI committee as a whole. Mm-hmm. Program chair next year, we'll be in conversation. Whoever you are, we'll be talking, bro. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely, I think some of this, it's more general to just all kind of like broader leadership. But going into like the work you're going to do, just don't be scared. Like, really, there's no reason to be scared. This community is actually crazy. Like, we actually have so many resources. There's so many resources. Like, even beyond, like, the ones that would come to mind immediately. Like, Mufti Anwar. Oh, wow. Right? But even still, Mufti Anwar is not even to downplay that. That's a crazy resource that the community has. Literally, like, available. Like, whenever we can set up a meeting. You know what I mean? But even beyond that, there's so many experienced people in this community who have leadership experience, who care a lot, too. So, like, if you're ever feeling lost or like confused, or you just, you know, there's like a degree of insecurity in like your headspace, like you literally just talk to the people around you, talk to the people that are available to you, take advantage of them as a resource. Like one thing for me, the alhamdulillah, I actually had such a like, I had the blessing of having like a lot of people that were really close to me that had like a lot of experience and exposure to like serving the community and like having like kind of that leadership kind of responsibility. And I'm telling you, like, I would talk to these guys all the time. Shout out Mehtan and Adil, bro, because dude, we would like, if I needed to talk, they would literally designate so much time. And honestly, it's a testament to their character. May Allah reward them, because they care secondhand, right? They care secondhand, not just about me, but about the work I'm doing, because they're doing work for the same community, right? We're all serving the same community. So anytime I had questions or concerns, it was very easy to just reach out to the people around me to ask, not just about like personal concerns that I might have, like I'm like stressed or something, or you know, I'm not sure what to do, but even just like more like of the objective things of like, how do you send emails to scholars? How do you communicate in this? How do you go about doing this work? Even just like the more tangible items, it was an amazing resource. And this community will always have these resources. So just being aware of the resources that are available to you, make sure you take advantage of those resources. And yeah, like there's no need to stress. You'll be fine. You have so many safety nets here. Like even just during the weekend of the conference, right? It's always a struggle. It's always going to be hectic. Like I had so many people that I could just call that I knew I could just rely on, right? And you'll have that. So have faith and like the people around you to support you and make this conference a success. And don't freak out. Don't be so nervous that you can't, you know, operate. And don't be too scared to apply. Like if you're someone who's like, oh man, like I don't want to, you know, be like the one committee where the conference doesn't go through or something like that. Like if that's you, like I promise you that won't happen. I promise you, because the community here won't allow that to happen. Whatever you need, all you need is to reach out and they'll come in running to you. Seriously. And that's not even addressing the entire like really kind of religious component. Like Allah really enables your work. Like if you have your intentions grounded in the pleasure of Allah, Allah will enable things to work out for you. Things will become less stressful. You will be relieved of certain things, and things will just be made easier for you. So you know, just have an understanding of that whenever you're going to apply, and even if you, when you get in and you're working, just keep that in the back of your head always.
Mm-hmm. And all, like as you were saying, just make sure that you understand that there, you are in no way like alone in what you were doing, especially during the conference. I will say that literally none of it could have happened without like our volunteering leads, without all the volunteers that came. Shout out to Rahim and Yasmin. They did so, so amazing. Like anytime we needed a single thing, not even them, just all the volunteering leads, and even just random attendees, we could ask them for anything and they would drop what they were doing and come help us. And so even if you're feeling stressed, just know that there's always people that you can, you know, ask for help. And whenever, even if you are feeling stressed, just make sure that you go back to, again, like your intentions. Make sure that you understand that the reason you are feeling stressed is a test from Allah. And it's, you are indeed, like, your goal is to be getting, like, you are going to be getting rewarded for, like, everything that you've been doing and all the stress that you're going through.
One thing that came to mind is when you say that you are doing something for the sake of Allah, be prepared to be tested for it. So you can plan ahead, but Allah is the best of planners. You can plan, okay, this is how my schedule is going to look like for DI, and you know, I'm going to get through this and whatever. You are going to get through this, but when you say it's for the sake of Allah, Allah's going to test you. And so at least me personally, like life through like a bunch of curveballs that made it hard for me to like only focus on DI and academics. Like so much has happened. And even during the conference, like just a lot of stuff like went wrong that I never expected for it to go wrong. For example, like the QR codes with like the Q&A and stuff. That was like the last thing I thought would go wrong. You know, like 5 minutes before Imam Al-Faruqi was going upstage, I was like, oh my God, like the QR code's not working. And shout out to Mehtan again. He really... you pulled through. And so like Bilal said and like Sophia said, like, you really just have to ask for help. Like, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. And genuinely, like, I know it can be kind of embarrassing. You feel like, you know, like, I've been doing this for so long, like, it feels kind of embarrassing to ask for help, or like, I know I can do it, but I don't know what's going on. It's okay. Like, literally no one's gonna think low of you. Yeah, the community's here.
Yeah, one point to add on to that is that the work is hard. Like, this is not something that, like, people, especially like people in leadership, look at and they're like, wow, I can't believe you're struggling. Like, that is the last thing anybody's thinking. The work is hard. That's why you have the resources, right? And so, like, don't feel like, you know, like, oh, like, I this should be easy. Like, I don't know why it's difficult. I don't know why I'm struggling, whatever. Like, no, like, it's going to be hard. And that's exactly why you need to ask. That's exactly why you're going to need to ask for help, right? So, like, don't be shy about that. And asking for help is a part of the growth. Like, don't see it as an obstacle. See it as a stepping stone. And not just growth for you, but, like, for the conference holistically, right? So, like, you know, never be afraid to ask for help. Not here. Definitely not here.
Well, that's all we have for y'all today. But please be sure to tune in next time when we release part 2. Special thanks to all the people who made this podcast happen. Our guests, Hiba, Bilal, and Sophia. Our Muslim Talks committee members are Fatima Mudassir, Alisa Mashar, and Ira Kashmiri. Shout out to Noises Mosque for letting us use the BAC as a recording location. Be sure to follow Dean Intensive on Instagram, @TexasDeanIntensive, for when next year's conference comes around. Ramadan Mubarak, and Assalamu Alaikum.